In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. Juneau residents from Thane to the end of the road woke up with no electricity this morning. Some of the outages persisted into the afternoon. Alaska Electric Light and Power spokesperson Deb Driscoll says the outages began yesterday afternoon when trees weighed down by snow and ice started falling on power lines. That happened repeatedly in multiple locations overnight and this morning.
We had multiple trees coming down in multiple locations, so the crew has been working nonstop.
Driscoll says she can't recall a similar event causing this many outages in more than a decade. Slick conditions on the roads didn't help. An area-wide outage occurred at 5 a.m. when trees fell on a main transmission line along Thane Road. Power was restored for most areas of town at about 9:30 a.m. But as of this afternoon, crews were still working to restore power to Tea Harbor and areas further north due to a separate issue that was resolved by about 3 p.m. Driscoll says the weather forecast remains unpredictable. More outages may occur.
We want customers to be prepared for the possibility of additional outages, for sure. I think what happens is certainly if it warms up, then you get even heavier snow on trees, and then that can cause additional problems. If it ices up, that can cause problems with the lines.
People should prepare by keeping their phones fully charged. If they have alternate heat sources like wood stoves, they should be prepared to use them. She says people can also gather snow and place it in buckets in their fridge or freezer to help keep food cold if necessary. Nearly two dozen judges will be on the November 3rd state election ballot. Alaskans won't be voting on all of them, just those judges in their particular area. But as KTOO's Matt Miller reports, Alaska's system of keeping or removing judges from the bench sidesteps much of the politics that dominates the judicial process in some other states.
And you have my word. I'll keep protecting our rights and defending our values.
Rebecca Dallet on the ballot for Supreme Court.
McMonagle is endorsed by elected officials, the Firefighters Union, and the Plain Dealer, which stated, this shouldn't even be a contest. Vote Matthew McMonagle.
Lucille, where are my judges?
Just where they've always been, right in your pocket.
That's a mashup of what it sounds like in an alternate reality. Trial judges and Supreme Court justices and their opposition running television ads in other states.
I can assure you I would not have the job if it wasn't in Alaska, because I would not do what's required to be done to have the job in other states. I wouldn't do it.
Elaine Andrews is a retired state district and Superior Court judge. She's glad she didn't have to raise money, make campaign speeches, and run ads to stay on the bench, because it would set up so many ethical compromises and conflicts of interest.
It's hard for the public to believe that a judge is impartial when they show up to court and the person on the other side just contributed $5,000 to the, you know, judge's reelection campaign. It just doesn't make sense.
Here's how the retention election in Alaska works. Instead of a partisan campaign and election, sitting Alaska judges are simply listed on the ballot. If 50% or more of voters vote yes, then the judge would continue serving on the bench. Or voters would vote no if they think a judge should be removed. Suzanne DiPietro is executive director of the Alaska Judicial Council, a citizens panel devoted to vetting potential new judges and investigating sitting judges before they come up for retention.
It is an extremely thorough and nonpartisan evaluation.
Luis Menendez served on the Superior Court in Juneau for 7 years. He appeared on the ballot for retention almost midway through his term. Menendez says the council surveyed all attorneys, public safety officers, social service workers, jurors, and court employees who worked with them. Call it a public report card. It included numeric ratings and written feedback about his performance and ability. Menendez says he took those ratings and comments to heart.
I learned an awful lot about that process. They congratulate you and they criticize you in the same situation. But I think that's all helpful to what we do as judges and how we learn and how that learning process is continual from the day you're appointed to the day you leave the bench.
DiPietro says the council also investigates judges for any ethical complaints and getting their work done on time. It also helps if they work on judicial reform efforts.
And actually, this year has recommended that all the judges be retained in office for the reason that the judges have met the performance standards. The judges have done a good job in office.
Author and legal researcher Albert Klump says Alaska was the first state to incorporate this kind of nonpartisan, merit-based process to install and keep fair and impartial judges in every state court. For one, it virtually eliminates campaign fundraising. Also,
you had the idea that you were going to reduce the influence of political parties. And of course, back then in the progressive era, that was the big concern. And then you also had the point that it was going to give voters some assistance in sorting through all of these candidates that they probably weren't very familiar with and try to pick out the most likely candidates were to become good judges.
That's not to say, though, that politics is completely absent in Alaska's process. For reasons still undetermined, Klump says large blocks of Alaska voters will routinely vote no or against keeping judges on the bench. Judges are also targeted for removal by special interest groups. For example, Alaska Supreme Court Justice Susan Carney is opposed by the group Alaskans for Judicial Reform, though their reasons don't appear to target her personally. Rather, they take issue with the court's decisions on Alaska's sex offender registry, abortion funding, and the permanent fund dividend. Carney just happens to be the justice who is up for a retention vote this year. Former Alaska Attorneys General and the group Vote Yes retain Justice Susan Carney have come to her defense to keep her on the bench, and that is allowed. Sitting judges in Alaska cannot campaign for retention unless it is in response to an opposition group. Otherwise, all they can do is put out basic biographical information about themselves. And that's the idea behind AnchorageJudges.com. Anchorage Superior Court Judge Yvonne LaMoree set up the website featuring herself and four other judges.
I think people probably don't realize that there's a lot of judges who are up for retention, and it's not always easy to access all of the information, and so we wanted to try to make it accessible for folks who wanted to learn more.
Klump says Alaska voters have approved over 99% of all judges on the ballot since statehood. It's rare for a judge to be removed. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Researchers track Arctic sea ice extent every year, essentially how far it extends from the North Pole. The fall is when the Arctic sea ice pack is smallest after melting and receding all summer and right before it starts growing again through the winter. There's more sea ice this fall in the Chukchi Sea than there was at this time last year. However, as Wesley Early with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, the ice closer to Alaska's shores is lagging behind.
Rick Toman is a climatologist with the International Arctic Research Center in Fairbanks, and he broke the news about the amount of ice in the waters off the coast of northwest Alaska this year.
We have much more, about three times more ice in the Chukchi Sea than we had last year.
Last year saw the lowest fall sea ice extent in the Chukchi Sea on record. Toman says this year's sea ice extent is still way below the historical average, and most of this year's ice is in waters north of Alaska.
When we talk about the Chukchi Sea here, we're talking basically to about 78 north. So that's hundreds of miles north of Utqiagvik.
In the southern Chukchi Sea, Toman says there's still a lot of open water. In fact, even though there's more ice across the entire Chukchi, the ice near Kotzebue and Point Hope is actually weaker than last year.
Kotzebue Sound is mostly open water at this point. So especially on the Russian side, we have even less ice than we had last year at this time.
Toman says this year's forecast calls for storms throughout the coast of northwest Alaska. Stormy seas make it difficult for sea ice to form.
We're going to have a turn towards warmer, stormier weather in the Bering and southern Chukchi Sea. We're going to be very late with really starting to form ice south of Point Hope, and we could easily be looking at no ice kind of in the open Chukchi Sea north of the Bering Strait well into December.
Toman says historically that ice was formed by mid-November or even as early as October. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Wesley Early in Kotzebue.
Alaska health officials say a major overflow site is prepared for a quick start to take patients if the coronavirus pandemic overwhelms bed capacity, but that staffing remains a concern. Heidi Hedberg of the State Department of Health and Social Services says the hospital overflow site at Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage can be ready within 48 hours. The facility is prepared with patient areas, beds, and nurse stations. The state needs 2 days to implement staffing, medicine, and laundry services to operate the center. Having enough healthy staff for operation is still an issue. This is KTOO News.